Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is September the 28th, 2022. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, Michael Harper in the studio.
That's what they call me.
That's what they call you?
Yeah, you can throw my middle name in there if you want, Christian. It sounds real official once you go with the Christian.
people tighten up when they hear that.
Yeah, right.
Well, good morning. So I thought it'd be fun to have you on. So you, I don't know. I know as a guy who has, you know, lost my mom, I guess it's been a couple years now, and who has a father who lives here who's now 85, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch how he, you know, operates in his world. And, you know, one of the things that as a guy that gets older and as a son that watches your dad, you know, his interactions with small businesses like appliance repair, home things getting fixed at the home. I know that, you know, it's, I know we all have good intentions, but, you know, it's nice to have someone that you can trust. And you've been working at my dad's house for, I don't know, how many years?
I would say over 10,
yeah,
for sure.
10 years. And you were with another company. You do, so now you have Lewis Appliance Repair, which is, I think it's great. You know, you work for somebody for a while. Finally, you get yourself to a point where it's time to go out and try at least doing it on your own. And you've done it. And you've been a big help to my dad, you know, and just doing little things. But listen, trust is a big thing, and my dad trusts you, and I trust you, and I thought it'd be fun to have you on and shine a little light on your new business.
Well, you're the one that's taking this on, so yeah. I mean, your mother was a fabulous person. Your dad is still. I know, you know what he does is business. That's basically how you know, I met him as far as the company that I used to work for. They did all their work for them, so I mean. It was a good experience, and in fact, that's where I first saw that Camaro that you had in the in your dad's garage.
Trans Am, excuse me.
Oh, Trans Am, sorry. I thought you were going to go with the Fire Chicken or something like that, but we'll say Trans Am.
Well, it's a GTA Trans Am, and it's actually mine. Thank you. But
I knew that. That was plainly told to me when I was there.
Well, it's a great car. It's an awesome car, but I really have nowhere to put it. I have no time to take care of it, right? It's safe in my dad's garage.
Right.
But at some point, I have to take this car. And right. I had so much fun with that car when I was like 21.
I get it.
Yeah, it was.
I think most of us, once we get to our age, not saying that we're old or anything, but wish that some of the cars that we had when we were younger, we could acquire again. And you're lucky enough to still own one of those vehicles.
Well, and my father's taking care of it for me.
That's even better.
I mean, he's taking, this thing is mint.
He rolls it out of the garage every once in a while and sits it in the driveway. So I know one time I was there, it was out in the driveway. So I'm sure it was either getting clean, polished, or something to that effect.
Well, you know, it's a great topic because, you know, I look at that car when I drove that car. And so it's an 88 GTA Trans Am. And it's, you know, back in the day, it felt like the greatest car in the entire world. But now when I get into it, it feels like an 88 GT Trans Am.
Right.
Very stiff. You know, we as humans and humans that drive cars, we've come a long way. The luxury has risen.
Most definitely. I mean, my car was a 1985 RX-7 GTS.
Engine.
So when I acquired that from my uncle, that was the best thing since sliced bread.
Well, that was a rotary engine, right?
It was.
Which I don't understand why we don't see. Was it only Mazda that made the rotary engine?
As far as I know, yes, that ever put it in production, I believe.
It was a great design.
Fabulous car. The only one drawback to it is it just kept trying to get stolen. In fact, my uncle owned it, and it was stolen twice on him.
Wow. Well, it's probably Mazdas, Toyotas. They're all those kind of cars that you can really trick out. Speaking of which, they just had that H2OI festival car.
Right.
Yeah. I saw it. They ended up in New Jersey. They tried year after year in Ocean City. They must have arrested everybody by now. And I think they said, forget it. So they went to New Jersey. And of course, I think somebody got killed. I don't know.
Right.
Street racing. But
I had to replace the ignition in that car like four times because they just kept on breaking the hammer screw thing that they used to jack those cars up back in the day. And I actually sold it. I was driving down Maryland Avenue in Wilmington, and a couple guys followed me around, and they were like, "Oh, you want to sell your car?" I was like, "I don't know." He was like, "I'll give you a couple grand for it." I was like, "Done." I don't even think I left the parking lot. I think I called somebody to come pick me up.
We're either going to buy it or we're going to steal it from
you. That's basically how I was looking at it. They were either going to follow me until I got home and take it anyway, and I was just like, it was a two-seater. You know, I just had my daughter. It wasn't, very family-friendly car.
No. Well, I might listen. One of my first girlfriends had a Mazda RX-7. I loved that car. It was a great car. I would like to know how many cars they used that rotary motor in. Was it just for the RX-7?
I believe it was just for the RX-7. Now, back then, I know they actually managed to actually put two of those motors in those cars.
Wow.
I don't know how they did it. I know most of them were on the racetrack. I actually had done service calls in that car for a while back in the early 90s.
You had your toolbox in one seat.
Yeah, that must look me, you know, me coming in with the mullet and the sports car.
Well, I guess, you know, it's sort of talks about kind of what you do now. I mean, back in those days, we could kind of work on stuff, you know, there was room to get inside of things. And now, you know, and you like as appliances, I mean, I remember I could lift the lid of my washer and dryer and see like belts and things, and I could fix things. But today, you're really only allowed to just throw things in the damn
door. I mean, most of the calls that I was doing, I would say that I was fixing most of the stuff on the first call probably 80% of the time. Then they didn't change things a whole lot for a long period of time. Mm. So like they made one, like a Whirlpool washer or whatever. They made that washer for 20 years.
Yeah.
So most of the parts that were on there, you know, just basically went from like, you know, Whirlpool or Roper or whatever it was. Nowadays with all the computerized stuff and, you know, energy efficiency, and they change everything every 2 or 3 years. So it's rather hard to try to carry as many parts, you know, like you could then when you could, you know, pretty much figure out what it was over the phone.
Right.
You know, just by talking to them. Now, I mean, you can still do the same thing, but, you know, unless you're going to plan on driving an 18-wheeler to every job, it's probably the opposite now. Usually most of them are on two trips. Now you got your standard stuff that, you know, drain pumps, stuff like that, but once you get into, you know, error codes, communication error codes, stuff like that, that involve control boards, interfaces, stuff like that, makes it a little harder.
Call. You need to call somebody.
Well, most of the time you're going to end up having to go back.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, it's a big change. You know, my dad was a big, he loved working on cars. I think he would fix most appliances. And just over the years, it's just gotten, I mean, I have a washer and dryer here at the salon. I've had them for 12 years. There isn't a bell or whistle on them. It's, you know,
and that's very surprising for a salon to have a washer and dryer that long.
Yeah,
it's never, very surprising.
It's never broken, and maybe I should knock on wood, but it's very
something.
Yeah, the point is it's old school, right? You know, it just has a knob that you put to high, low, whatever it is, and pick the level of water, and then hit, and you're gone. Where we just moved our new washer and dryer, they could probably be in the shuttle.
I mean,
they are so freaking high tech.
Well, typically salons and like animal hospitals, animal shelters go through laundry equipment quite often.
Yeah.
They're a little rough on them. So who's doing your laundry over there, but they probably not destroying your equipment like probably most.
Well, and I think that's the point, right? It's if, you know, when we have a 17-year-old, we have an 11-year-old, we have a 10-year-old. The 17-year-old, when we started telling him, not telling him, but he's like, can I do my laundry? And I was like, yeah, go for it. you know, and he shoved every freaking bit of clothing in the washing machine, and you could hear it coming off of the hinges. And I'm like, David, you can't do that. So we finally got him under control. Now, Sam, the 11-year-old, he's like, I want to do my laundry. Shoves every bit of clothing, comforters, pillowcase, you know, everything in there. It's coming apart. So we had to educate him. But I think that is the case. It's people who, you know, overload it, right? And we don't do that salon. I'm like, guys, let's keep...
Well, hair is typically the destruction of laundry equipment in salons, personally. That's what I've... learned.
What, does it get wrapped around stuff?
Everywhere, especially in the dryer. Most of it goes through the washer, but dryers especially, particular brands, the hair goes through, gets in, you know, the rollers or the either pulley, not to mention any names, but I got one I go to probably every 3 or 4 months.
Wow. That's so funny. Well, my wife the other day, she's like, the vacuum, it doesn't work. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I get my appliance repairman shirt on and head down the hall.
I brought you one, by the way.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I get my toolbox. Really, I bring my scissors, because what usually ends up happening is there's about an inch of hair wrapped around that roller.
I just did it myself.
And I'm like, how can we need a tool. We need some tool to just slide along this the beater brush and just one pass take all that hair off. Maybe that might be a...
Probably better than the way I did it, because being, you know, a service tech thinking I can fix everything, I started to remove every screw on the vacuum cleaner. So it turned out all right, but I stopped in the middle, put everything back, and then actually, you know, did what I probably should have done and do what everybody does in this life, Googled it, and, you know, within 5 minutes, it was fixed, done, cleaned, and back and cleaned my house. Well, the Google world.
There used to be a vacuum repairman out in Long Neck. I don't know if he's still out there, but I used to have to take vacuums out.
Nah, I don't know if he's there. There's still one in Rehoboth, though.
Okay, nice. Well, so let's talk about your story. So you, I mean, how'd you get into this business? Is this something you did right out of high school? And then what? You know, how'd you get to a point where you thought you'd want to? You know,
it's a funny story,
own?
Actually. I'm from Newark, Delaware. So, at the time I was, about 20 years old, you know, working in the restaurant business. At the time I was doing a lot of the, what we call, sofa surfing, which basically means I didn't have a permanent residence.
Yeah.
So I was staying like at everybody's house that I worked at, you know, the restaurant style, sleeping on their couches. And I had worked at this place for a little while, and you know, I finally had enough money where I was going to go find a place to live,
<That's a good laughs>
somewhere to put my cardboard boxes and my plastic bags. And I had found a lady; she actually was a server at the Newark Country Club, and she had a room for rent. And somehow, some way, she let me move in. And, you know, I was there probably for about a year, and she was single, and she actually started dating this guy that was going through a divorce and happened to own an appliance store. So I guess once the divorce was final, they all decided they were going to leave and move to Florida. So she left, and somehow I was still staying at this townhouse. Had no lease or anything, so I was on borrowed time. I think I paid the rent maybe twice, and then, you know, you finally get that letter saying you don't have a lease, and I think we'd like you to leave.
Oh, so she just left you there.
Yeah, pretty much. Nice, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the smartest thing to do back when I was 20, 21, you know, especially in Newark.
How old are you now, Mike?
I am 52.
Okay, so I'm 54. We're roughly... I just needed... I'd like to know sort of like...
I already knew how old you were. You know, once again, I did a little research on you, so...
Well, but, it's just my birthday, too.
Yeah, that is, it was nothing personal. Yeah. Well, I figured we were close when I saw the Trans Am in the garage.
But it reminds me, your story a little bit, just the beginning, reminds me of myself. You know, I was in Albuquerque living, you know, on couches, working whatever I could do. You know, weird things would happen. You get stuck in houses, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, I got free rent, and then you're thrown out. I remember I was dating a girl in California. She moved. I sort of was living with her. We went to get all the stuff, got attacked by all these fleas. It was like just this hell life, right?
Good times, yeah, though. Good it was times. Like when you look back on it, it was just like I was having so much fun then.
It was the best.
It was the best.
Zero expectations of myself.
Zero. Nobody counting on you, you know. No expectations. You know, just go to work and cook and then come home. So yeah. I was living the life.
So you got tossed out of there.
So in that whole thing, she left, and she actually left me a car also, which I think was like a 1978 Cordova. So, you know, a big white boat, basically. The guy that she moved down there with actually had a son that was the same age as me. In fact, I think we both turned 21 in the same month. And through the whole thing, he was having problems with his mom. So what it really came down to, they were like, look, how would you like them to come and live in Florida? And at the time, I had just broken up with my girlfriend because, you know, I was in love and heartbroken, oh. which, by the way, I ended up marrying this girl, but that's beside the point. But so
we'll come back to it.
We'll come back to that. That's a whole nother story there. But, you know, I turned 21 and, you know, somebody was like, hey, look, you want to come to Florida and live for free until you find a job? I was just like, yeah, why not? You know, I'll come to Fort Myers. Not a big problem. It's not like I have anywhere else to go. And I'm, you know, basically a cook in a restaurant. So it wasn't like I had a big career or anything. So right. I was like, sure. And by the way, can you bring Dave's son with you? I was like, sure. Why not? You know, it turned out me and him were a lot alike. Even though he had a place to live, he definitely was living the kind of life that I was living. You know, and
carefree.
We threw everything in that big old Cordova, and you know, he didn't have a driver's license. Headed to Florida. So I had friends that were actually in North Carolina. We stopped there for a couple of days, got in a little trouble there. Was asked to leave the state of North Carolina. We did. And we ended up in Florida, and really I started, got down there, you know, found a job pretty quick. I was working at a car wash. Anybody that's worked at a car wash, not the greatest job in the world, but it had one benefit. Lots of pretty women at this car wash. I was amazed. So I stayed there longer than I probably would have if I was just climbing in and out of cars, vacuuming them. But
that's funny because back in those days, we actually ran a mobile car wash. I grew up in Albuquerque, and my buddy Ken Chilcote had the idea of having a mobile car wash. And the idea was you just take this truck and trailer with a big pump and tank, and you go to car lots and wash all the cars on the lot.
Right.
And I was like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And so we did it. And that was, you know, at the time, it, you know, if I look back, I couldn't do a day's work washing cars like I did back then at the age I'm at now. But back right. then, we grinded it out, partied all night, got up, grinded it all out, partied
no doubt,
all night.
No doubt. Just imagine being at a car wash, you know, in Florida in the 90s, which a bunch of pretty young women.
Yeah.
It made the job go a lot quicker and a lot nicer, that's for sure.
Were the girls prettier in the 90s?
Huh?
Were the girls prettier in the 90s?
I don't know if they were prettier, but I was definitely a lot younger.
Well, yeah. You were available.
Yeah, I was available, and you know, I would say they probably wear a lot less clothes nowadays, but I mean, I always picture that same scene from, you know, Ridge Mountain at Fast Times of a girl getting out of the pool and the water splashing all
Phoebe
around.
Kate.
Yeah, there you go. And that kind of fantasy, you know, you just see the water splashing around and
it's a fun time, you know,
running around with wet clothes on.
It's fun. It's funny when I think about, you know, the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s. It was like a really, you know, it was a really fun time to grow up. I'm sure every person says the same thing about the time when they grew up. But I know that
it was
very complicated, but very simple.
Right.
And didn't think it could get any more complicated, which it has, just through, you know, social media and just different platforms. But back then it was really, you know, you talked on the telephone.
Right.
And that was about it.
Thank God there wasn't cameras back then. That's all I'm going to say on that subject.
Right.
It's pretty carefree style back in the 80s, that's for sure.
Well, I'm glad they didn't have Snapchat. And I'm glad they
too.
Didn't have TikTok. And I'm glad they didn't have all these camera phones back in when I was growing up. Not Oof. That I'd have done anything, but...
Right?
You know, I'd hate to have a dumb brain.
Not you, never.
I'd hate to be running a dumb brain back in those days.
Right. So
it could have been worse.
So he just started out doing service when he was down there and eventually bought a warehouse and started doing what he was doing in Elkton, basically selling used appliances. And that's basically the business I started in, was basically rebuilding washers and dryers in the shop.
Is there still a used appliance business?
There's a few, not many. I think most of the reason why is because of the control boards in it.
It's just hard to replace those or repair them?
Yeah, to repair them especially. Actually, I saw a picture. I'm on Facebook on this one group, and I saw a picture the other day of somebody working on a refrigerator. And if you look at it, and if you know anything about refrigeration, I have no idea how they ever got that refrigerator to work and actually sold it to somebody. But I did a lot of crazy things back then, especially, you know, reconditioning appliances is what we like to call it.
Right.
But like I said, it was a lot simpler. It was a lot more mechanical then than it is today. So, I mean, when most people get rid of appliances today, it's usually either something too pricey as far as a control board, you know, stuff like that, like your father's refrigerator at his house. It's probably 25 years old, something like that. I don't know if he still has it or not.
He still uses a refrigerator. He didn't go back to the ice box.
But
he would.
Yeah, right. I mean, as far as that, like that type of refrigerator, no boards, no nothing, you know. And, you know, especially today with the price of stuff, it's like buying, it's like repairing a TV today. It's like I see posts on Facebook on, you know, different things and like, yeah, I need somebody to fix my TV. And I'm like, you could literally just go to Wawa or Walmart and buy a TV for $400 and, you know, get a 60-inch TV, probably way better than the one you're trying to repair. And, you know.
Well, it did get to that point. I don't know if it's still at that point. I mean, I know that we have expectations now of visual stuff. I wouldn't, you know, 4K. I mean, now that I think it's coming out, 8K TVs.
Yeah, the 8Ks are the big thing now, correct. You know, I can see if you're spending, you know, I mean, I've looked at some of them. I mean, you know, $6,000 for a TV for, you know, not even a really big one. But, I mean, that would probably be worth fixing if it was a board. Because usually that's what it is on TVs, you know, and there's usually three or four boards in them. It's usually one of those things, but I mean.
Well, TVs are weird, too, because you can buy. Listen, you look at the TV in the box, and you're like, oh, my God, it's amazing. It's 70 inches, right? It's flat. It's 4K, but it's really.
Weighs 5 pounds.
Yeah, but is it the megahertz? It's 120.
1080, I believe, is what they're rated at. I mean, there's definitely, now I guess it's more on, you know, how many pixels it has. And
well, it's the refresh rate.
Right.
And so you can buy this amazing looking TV. More than likely, if it's cheap or reasonably priced, it's in the, I think it's the megahertz. But it's
right.
Like, if it's a 60 megahertz, it's going to, you know, it's going to slow. Like if you're watching golf,
right.
You watch the guy putt the ball, the grass fades out, everything kind of blurs out. So, you know, now it's like 240 megahertz on some of these.
I'm sure if there's any gamers out there listening, they're probably like, these two have no clue on what they're talking about.
I do have a clue.
He does because he's probably done the research. I usually don't.
I absolutely have a clue. We just bought TVs.
See, he's a media guy over here, but me personally, I just bought one actually, and I bought the wrong TV. I got an Android TV, and I don't even have an Android. But so
does
I can't
it matter?
There's certain functions I can't use. I guess you know, the voice thing on there, but you know, I don't even use that anyway. Not that I watch.
You don't know what
TV.
You're buying. You just know how to fix it.
I don't know how to fix TVs.
TVs are not
TVs. Well, I know how to go to Walmart and purchase one or buy one online. I usually ask my son because he's usually the one that uses it because he's a gamer. So all the stats and stuff are usually more important to him.
Well, it is important, and I'm just going to go with megahertz. But if you're buying a 60 megahertz television, it's going to struggle with the refresh. If you want a great TV, 240, but you're going to see a major jump in price.
Right, most definitely, and most of it now also is the 4K and the 8K,
which a lot of I'm not even sure if anybody's streaming 8K.
I don't. Think so. No. I don't even know if cable or internet has that capacity.
I would
assume it's going to be like 4K was with the DVD players and certain channels that have the 4K.
Yeah, well, we do YouTube TV and there's a 4K. I'm like, okay. But then I play it and I'm like, looks like 2K.
What's going certain on? Channels I've learned, and I, you know, because I stream, so I actually got the right Roku for the 4K.
That's what
but
I have.
It, but it's like
you
my
and
phone.
I both fell for the damn same
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, same TV. Finally, same
you know what's
TV.
Bad when you turn your TV on to set it up and ask you to put your credit card in?
Yeah, no doubt.
You're like, wait a minute.
Oh, like, do it, I have to have this memorized or, you know, it's great with phones the way they are where you can just double tap on your phone and charge everything. But it's just like phones, you know, I just bought a brand new phone, you know, I got the 13 Pro Max and I think maybe 3 weeks later, guess what came out? The 14. And I'm just glad they went to 14 and didn't go to 15. It didn't make me feel as bad. But, you know, now I got to get my son a phone and now he's getting a 14.
Or just give him your 13 and move up.
See, I thought that, but I've had that done to me from my old company, and it made me feel a certain way, like I was second rate. So I thought I should have got the new phone. So,
bro, your kids are second rate. You're the boss. Don't get caught up in it.
Don't get caught up in it.
I gave my son my 10. My son has the X.
I think he has like a 12 now, possibly. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you by looking at it, but... You know,
well, that's actually a pretty funny topic because I too have a perfectly good phone. I have the 12 mini, which I loved. I love the idea of having the, I love the back in when we had the 5, you know, the smaller phone. I love small phone, right? And so when the 12 mini came out, I got it. I love it. It's perfectly fine. And I want a new phone. And so I'm torn between practical and being an idiot. And I feel like if I get the 14, even though this phone's perfectly fine, it'd be kind of dumb. So I'm on the fence about getting a new phone.
Well, I think with the bigger phones, it's you're probably the same way. I don't want to have a phone on my belt. So it looks like, you know, once you get the big 14K or 14 Pro Max, you know, it looks like you have a laptop strapped to your hip.
And it's like just a SWAT shield.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I like to put it in my pocket. You know, I usually wear cargo pants to work, so it fits perfectly in the pants that I wear, and I don't have to, you know, go in looking like Mr. Gadget with the phone, and, you know, you'll have your phone case, and, you know, you'll see techs out there that look like they have the Batman utility belt on.
Yeah. Well, and I have no acetal. It's a disease. It's called no acetal. So whenever I put a phone in my pants, my freaking pants want to fall down. It's like, it just go right down. I'm like, come on. So
they do make a belt.
I don't like belts.
Nobody likes belts, right?
Well, it's, if I put it in my back pocket, it pulls my pants down. If I put it in the front pocket, it somehow creates
I have that
some
same
tension.
Disease, though.
Yeah, you got no acetal either.
It's, definitely, for sure.
Well, and it's funny when we keep... I remember my ex-wife, she's like, this washing machine is making holes in my clothes. And I'm like, how? What's the matter with it? And she said, because this was old school, you know, the top loader.
Right.
And you put everything in, and then it fills up with water, right? You put soap in, and it agitates. It's like a little pond, right? It's a little
pretty
pond
much.
Of water. And but in the end, you know, it drains out and then spins 1,000 miles an hour. And she says that when that happened, the clothes were forced out of the little holes and made holes in her clothes.
Wow, that washer had hyper speed.
Well, I'm like, I don't know. But you know how we do. We want to get along, right? We want to be involved and we want to make people happy.
Happy wife, happy life.
So we upgraded. But I just, it's weird, man. I don't. Does any water get on her clothes in those new machines? I don't even. Is it a half a cup they use?
Energy efficiency. No, don't ever buy a top load washer with a glass top. You will not like what you see.
Yeah, it's like spray, done, spin, you're done. I think it just sprays incense all over the clothes.
Pretty much. It's one of the bigger complaints you have on, especially top load washers. Especially ones that have the glass top on them, which is most of the higher end ones.
Well, and then the new thing is they stink.
Yes, that is a big complaint, especially on front load clothes washers. So most of them do have a cleaning cycle, and I always suggest right from when they're brand new to stick with some type of cleaning schedule.
Well, what would that be? Because you are an expert, and so if we can teach somebody something, I mean, I do. The smell of these things, and I can tell you one of the problems we had with the other washer that we had was that I feel like the ground was a little tilted back, so I felt like that maybe in the machine, out of my eye, there was somewhere water was settling back.
Well, the thing is with washers and dishwashers is they do not pump out all the water.
Mm.
You need to have what they call a displacement pump, which is basically what a submersed pump, something very similar to what people have in their crawl spaces, what they call a sump pump, which is submerged in the water. You cannot achieve that unless the pump is actually submerged in the water, and washers and dishwashers do not have that. So as soon as it gets down to where air gets in, basically what happens is it stops pumping, and all the water that's anywhere in the drain hose, anywhere that, rushes back down into the bottom of the water and sits there.
Yeah.
So they do make cleaning tablets for washers. I can tell you from experience, probably the worst thing you could put in a washer machine, believe it or not, is fabric softener.
Really?
Yes. And there's been a lot of research.
Why do they do?
Lot of research on this. I think it was a scam back in whenever they came out with fabric softener back in the 50s. It's like most products. It makes your clothes smell good. But if you do the research, it basically ruins your clothes. Towels, it makes your towels not absorb as much water as they used to.
Yeah.
And what it does is it puts a film inside your washer. And everything that you're putting in there, dirt, grime, sticks to it. So if you take apart most washers today, especially top loads where they have a plastic tub, you can literally see where the water level is from the grime and stuff that collects there.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, now they have dryer balls.
Everybody's now freaked out.
Yeah, sorry. I hate to tell you, but that is the majority of the smell. Most of the smells people are talking about usually are on front load washers. They have that gray boot typically on the front of them, and that's usually where the black mold and all that other fun stuff accumulates. And, you know, most people are probably doing a lot of wash. If you're the type of person that's only doing wash twice a week, just think of putting a glass of water on your counter and basically putting film over it and watch what happens after 2 or 3 days of that water and what it looks like.
Yeah.
That's exactly. And put a little dirt in there and a little grime. Yes, it doesn't get very pretty and it starts to smell.
That's pretty. Well, now, so we should not use fabric softener.
That is my personal opinion.
In my day, it was dryer sheets.
Dryer sheets are a lot better, but they basically do the same thing to your clothes, apparently. They basically put. You know, I just actually took the stuff out of them. I've been using the balls, so I haven't had too much static electricity, but I did this morning. But basically the same thing with the fabric softener sheets. They do control static electricity, but they also put that film on your clothes. So, I mean, apparently if you do the research, which I'm sure it's like cigarettes, they don't want you to know that it's bad for you, but it's not very good for your clothes.
What? You mean they're not? I could have kept smoking?
Nah, they put all these labels on cigarettes saying that, you know, they're not good for you.
Well, and we
the only thing it doesn't say is they will kill you.
And we ignore it.
For sure.
Well, it's weird. I mean, I feel like I just had to go to the doctor and get my physical, and I'm not on any medication. And she's like, you know, kept trying to, not that she's being a doctor, but she's like, do you think you might need this? What vaccine do you need? And I'm like, I don't want anything. I just want to, you know, make sure my heart's beating and my blood pressure is okay. But,
right,
you know, I don't want to start taking a ton of medication.
And I am not on medication either.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I feel like, see, I'm the person that if I take an allergy pill because of my allergies, I'm afraid my allergies are going to come back afterward 10 times worse.
Right.
So I'm always concerned, like, how bad am I suffering? What's going to be the solution? And how bad am I going to be suffering afterwards?
I never had allergies when I was a young man.
You didn't?
No.
I had allergies.
Maybe I just didn't realize it, but I know definitely in the last probably 5 to 10 years, I am definitely affected, you know, at least twice a year.
By allergies?
Oh, yeah.
Well, when I was a kid, we had to get allergy shots. My brother had really bad allergies. We grew up in New Mexico, so we would get allergy shots, and we hated it at the time, but I don't have allergies now.
Huh.
No allergies.
In fact, this year was really bad. Apparently, pine trees put off a lot of pollen.
Yeah. Have
you ever seen I live like pretty much pine tree heaven.
Have you ever see the clouds coming out of the pine trees?
Oh, yeah. I was playing frisbee golf at Cave Hamilton with my son, and there's this one hole there that has this big pine tree, and I tossed my disc out there and hit the top of it, and it was literally like a big cloud of pollen. I was like, whoa.
Spores.
Oh, spores. Yep. Where's the tissue?
That's funny. Well, it is, you know, and to get back to the point, you know, like I said, as a guy who's not taking care of his father, but keeping an eye on him. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that, I don't know if they take advantage, but they take advantage. And I've had a different company came out and did some work for my dad. And he's like, yeah, it was only like $400. I'm like, $400? I mean, what the fuck did they do? Excuse my language. But so I called them. I'm like, they sent out two guys. Took 2 hours. I'm like, and this was a, I don't know, a garbage disposal or something. And I'm like, so I called him. I go, why so much money? I mean, you know, are you taking advantage of my dad? Well, what do you want to pay? I go, well, not $400, right?
Right.
And they adjusted it. And for whatever reason, maybe because I called him out. But, you know, it's nice when people like you look out for my dad.
I don't know how much that happens. I am sure it does happen. Now, I've done service for a long time, and you do see probably see a lot of more older people because, let's face it, Sussex County is the retirement county of the East Coast.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to come here. So in my daily travels, and I have seen people that are probably when I go into their house and, you know, think to myself, like, yeah, this person probably should not be living by themselves. Yeah. Somebody's got to be coming here taking care of something, you know. Yeah. And obviously some houses are worse than others. But, you know, people that know me, I've been working down here for a few years now. And, you know, my Achilles heel is always the grandma. You know, I always try to take care of them one way or the other. So, I mean, you know, not that I don't do it on other people, but... You know, you can tell typically when you walk into somebody's house what kind of state they're in. You know what I mean? There's a big difference when somebody's moving to Sussex County, buying a $1 million house to retire in compared to the little old lady that's living in, you know, a 50-year-old house living on their basically, you know, what their check every month now. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and you got to charge what you got to charge. But, I mean, you know, the best thing about having my own company is I can be more lenient and, you know, take care of people that way, you know?
And I go through it in the hair business. I mean, every day, because things are getting expensive. And I think we can all attest to that. And I know, you know, I did a lady's hair yesterday. I'm like, you know, and I try to find options. I know it's different than fixing, you know, appliances, but I'm always like, you know, why don't we try this? See if we can do this. Try to save a little money doing this. You know, I am. This isn't a cash grab. I mean, I want to survive and, you know, raise my family and pay the rent and, you know, be of service to others. But at some point, I also want to be around in a year, right?
Right.
I want to be around in 2 years.
And it makes you feel good when you do stuff like that. You know what I mean? If you know you're doing something good and, you know, obviously you're making money on it, but I mean, if, you know, it's not all about, you know, the fortunes that you're going to make. I mean, sooner or later, you know, as a human, you got to, you know, you can't have just the dollar signs in your head. You know, we all like to make money. Nobody, you know, I like to buy things. I'm not going to lie. You know, everybody does. Yeah. But I mean, when you see somebody that you look at and you're in their house and going, I wonder if these people are actually eating cat food or not. You know what I mean? I mean, it comes down to that sometimes, you know.
Where are the cats?
Where's the cats at, you know? And, you know, and most people, in my personal opinion, probably at that are taking better care of their cats and dogs than they are themselves.
Isn't that funny?
You know, they'll buy in food for the dogs and the cats, but, you know, they'll sacrifice themselves in most cases because, you know, that's probably their best friend at this point. But, you know, it just, you know, you got to have a heart once in a while, you know what I mean? And, you know, and that's just the way that is, you know, when you're in the service business, I mean, you can tell if somebody's going in and just looking to, you know, pull out as much money out of your pocket as they possibly can, you know? Like I said, I charge the same amount to the people that live in, you know, I don't know if I want to name neighborhoods or not, but that live in the $1 million houses and the ones that live in the mobile home parks.
Right.
You know, if you keep a constant charge, then you have no problems. But I mean, if you're walking into a mansion and the first thing you're thinking about is, what can I add on to this? What can I upsell? Blah, blah, blah. It's just better if you just go straight across and just do the same thing no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, liability is a big thing. So you want to make sure that you're not going to, you know, not do something that's going to cause problems down the road immediately. But I mean, for the most part, it's just better if you treat everybody the same way, charge the same thing, same rates, same everything, you know, and it keeps yourself out of trouble and keeps from sons and daughters calling you up and wondering why you charge so much money because it didn't seem right.
Well, and I had, listen, I had probably 7 years ago, we had to replace our whole air conditioner heating unit at the house over in Rehoboth, and it was $10,000. I mean, it was a big,
but that's a big, it is a big expense for
that
sure.
That was a big one, and that was, but it was 20 years old.
Right.
And it had started, you know, and unfortunately where the roof, the chimney was, it started to get some water down in the chimney thing, and then it got into the box, and you know, rust and all sorts of shit, and all of a sudden CO2.
Home ownership, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's a bitch. But so we had that replaced. Well, it started, we had a guy come in and service it, and this is really, you know, you in my experience, I've met two kinds of people. I've met people that are doing the business but don't really know much about it. You know, they're always on the phone with the big guy, like let me call,
right?
And so
exactly,
they're figuring that out. Or you'll have Don, is it DL Hortensons? DL and Sons? I don't remember, but I think his name is Don. But so I had a guy come in and he's like, you need to replace this. I'm like, it's 5 years old. He goes, oh, it's got soot and stuff in it. You need to replace it. I was like, oh, God. So I call this, I make a phone call, and he's like, you got to call this guy Don Martin, Don DL Martin and Sons. And I call him, the name is Don. Dude's a freaking guru, man. He comes over and he's going through and he's like, well, they put the wrong nozzle in here. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, the wrong nozzle was put in. That's putting too much oil into the box, and it's creating this, you know, the soot. And he's like, we just need to change the nozzle. I was like, oh. So he changes the nozzle, and the thing works fine.
There you go.
I went from a $50 nozzle. I went from a $10,000 thing to a $50 nozzle. And
I'm assuming you had gas or oil heat is what the nozzle is talking about.
Yeah, it's, you know, it vaporizes the oil into the
basically
ignition,
yes,
area. And but the point is that, you know, Don was like, he knew, I mean, he was old school, right? He knew what he was talking about. So
right,
it's a, if they're on the phone with the boss trying to figure it out, you're probably, it's going to be a long day.
Right.
And
that's why with experience, you never do that in front of a customer. Any techs out there, just make sure if you got a call for help, make sure the customer is not listening.
Yeah. If the tech's
go
Googling,
out to your van, that's when you know when the tech's out in his van, he's not playing, you know, Pac-Man. He's calling somebody trying to get some technical information on that. But
well, and you know what? That's fine too. I'm not because we
Everybody does it. I don't care what you do for a living as far as service, technical stuff. It's a lot better to try to get some secondhand information than start guessing at stuff.
Well, and you have it. You know, it's about pride.
But we put a lot of faith in service people. You know,
right?
Like you just, your story. You know, you just went from a $10,000 replacement to a $50 part.
Yeah.
You know, what happens if you just went, all right, let's do it. You know what I mean? Something tells me they probably would have ripped out your equipment and probably would have done something with it. And it might be in some mobile home somewhere, heating somebody's stuff up.
Yeah. Well, it was a good, it's a good system. And then it just, I shouldn't say it's a good system. It's a double wide trailer heating pump.
Yeah.
Machine, whatever. I mean, it works. There's not a lot of options. It's not like you can get the upgrade. It's
right,
really
exactly,
one sort of system that goes in there. But I just thought, you know, the fact that there was one group that really didn't want to do much more investigating, they were pretty much like, he needs. I remember, it's coming back to me now. I remember we had gotten snow, and the guy comes over and he goes, maybe snow's in the chimney. And I go, well, can you go up on the ladder and see if there's any. Oh, I can't get on the roof if there's any ice on there. I go, dude, there's a path. I see it. I go, I'll get it. I can't let you get up there. I go, we have no heat. So what are we doing here? You're not going to go up there? He makes a phone call, finally goes up. It's not the issue. But one company not really excited about doing much more than putting a $10,000 unit in it. And then Don Martin, the man, figures out the nozzle. And
man, I hope he's listening.
Well, Don Martin is now servicing our house, our new house, that house, my salon.
Beautiful house. I've seen pictures.
Oh, well, thank you. But it's small. It's a little house. It's perfect. But we have them.
It's not that double wide, though, is it?
Well, you know, what's funny is we lived in a double wide for a long time, which is nothing wrong with that. It was perfect.
It's what I have at the present time.
Well, and I love, you know, your story. Listen, you work your way up, right? And I was so grateful to have that house. And we raised all the kids there. And we did our time. It's a beautiful house. Still have it. It's being actually rented now. But it's, you know, very grateful. Love that.
Right.
Great house. But we did upgrade, so.
Hey, that's what we do, you know. Now you got the, you know, you rent it out, and you know, I think a lot of people today buy things and get houses that they can't afford.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
You know, having that big, you know, 3,000, 4,000 square foot house is nice, but you know, if you're eating SpaghettiOs on a daily basis, I don't think that's the way that I want to live.
No, I agree.
I like to eat out. So I have a standard of living. Yeah. I didn't want to go past that threshold.
Well, this house we're in, I mean, this is an investment property. This is, you know, part of my father-in-law. I mean, you know, this is about a return one day. I mean, one day we'll flip that house, turn it and sell it, and somebody's going to make some money on it.
I mean, hopefully the market is like, you know, what it is now whenever you go to do that. You know what I mean? I mean, there's, you know, especially in the last, I mean, it's getting a little different now. I think the interest rates are going up, so the selling houses are going a little instead, you know, starting to level off a little bit. But there for a while, man, I mean, it was just like, I seen houses in my mom's neighborhood that were like, you know, 250, 275. Now all of a sudden going for over $400,000, $500,000, and we're talking about a 3-bedroom ranch house.
Yeah. Well, now, it's land.
Yeah, I mean, and they're all, you know, down Beaver Dam Road, but I mean, still, I mean, you know, it just got ridiculous. And the thing is, especially you've been here in Sussex County for a while too, and just see the growth that we have. And it's like, you see some of these houses going up and like, who in the world can afford some of these houses?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're building them like nobody's business, well, which is great for me and my business. But I mean, you know, I mean, it's nice. People, I know people move to Delaware for tax reasons and all that other fun stuff. But I mean, it just astounds me how people, you know, the houses that we see going up in the neighborhoods around here, it's just, you know.
Well, the interest rate will slow. And what I'm hearing now is a lot of people, you know, back year, whatever, 2 years, it's been 3 years, you know, the interest rate was doable where you could sell your house and get into a decent interest rate.
Right.
But now, a lot of people are locked into 2-3 whatever the percent on their interest rate of their existing house, and then they're wanting to sell, and now you're going into a 6 or 7% interest rate, which is I think someone said could be equivalent to $600-$800.
They're not looking at the loan payment. They're looking at that fast cash flow that they you know, they know what they paid for their house and they know what they're going to sell for, but you know, gonna have to buy another one.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people
and
don't
if
like
you
that.
Look at it, it's gonna end up costing you probably more money to do that. Yes, you'll probably make a lot of money selling whatever you're buying, but you're gonna have to buy another house.
Well,
you know, unless you're planning on downsizing or something to that effect. But
well, they're saying it's about an average of about $600-$800 difference in a house payment with this different interest rate. So
right,
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm happy where I am at the present time. So.
Well, and that's the other thing that's kind of funny is because we did, like you said, we say double wide, but it was a manufactured home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, but when we moved into this new house, we're like, oh, and the neighbor, he's like, we're so upset with our house. We've got so many problems, and look at this. And I'm like, we came from a double wide, bro.
Yeah,
we're freaking, you have no idea.
I hear it all the time, people complaining about builders, and I'm looking around going, yeah. Well, I must have lived on a different scale than you people.
But we had a shell built our house, and you know, love them or hate them,
And that's usually how it is.
Fantastic house.
Either they love them or hate them. It doesn't matter who your builder is. I mean, there's always going to be that one person that's just never satisfied.
Yeah.
You know.
They're next door.
I love to see what they came from when you see, you know, the neighborhood that you moved into. It's like they're complaining about this, that. And, you know, I don't know. Are they retired people? I don't know. Most of the time I see they're usually, you know, sold their house in Jersey or New York and came here and they, you know. Well, want to complain people, about everything because that's all they got to do is look around their house and look at stuff.
There are those people that are like their kids are starting to get into college. It's that age, that late 40s, early 50 age.
Right.
And, you know, we're kind of have some money, right? It's a prime of our life. It's really where we have a voice now. And I think that's sort of how the people down the street are. They're just, and they also come from Pennsylvania and they apparently have a great, amazing house in Pennsylvania.
I tell you.
So I'm like, well, we'd love our house.
Yeah, right.
It's awesome.
Hey, the closet door's all closed, you know. The floor's not buckled in the kitchen anywhere. You know, this is pretty nice compared to where I came from, you know.
Well, and I think the challenge with manufactured homes, you know, especially the kind I have, which was a double wide house, it's, you know, it's the efficiency of the, you know, the air conditioner, the heater. I mean, our air conditioner would come on probably May. It may not go off until October. And I'd feel so bad for it. I'd walk by, I mean, hang in there, bro. You got this. And this new house, a week ago, it was a little chilly. I'm like, oh, it's a little chilly. Should we maybe turn on the heat? And my wife's like, yeah, let's try. So we turn it on. I'm like, what is that? It's hot air.
Hot air.
It's blowing on me. Turn it off.
I can't hear it either.
Yeah, I can't.
You sure it's working?
That's funny you brought that up because there is like an intake vent right above. And
sure.
It's like, I'm like, oh, that's very noisy.
Wow. Like, I don't have those in my manufactured house.
It's called a return.
It's called a return, but yeah. My return is literally in my laundry room door.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't have that. I mean, when you open and close the laundry room door, you can feel the tension when it's on, but that's about it.
The laundry room door of shame. That the when they come room, service it and they're like, it. Do you want me to vacuum this? I'm like, if you don't mind.
I actually put a filter in it if anybody wanted it. It didn't have a filter in it. And I was like, I wonder where, you know, most people have filters in their house. I was like, how do I do this? You know, and wow, look.
It opens up,
there's grate in the door and it opens up and look, there was no filter in it, but I mean, I put one in it.
Yeah. Well,
you know, of course my thing was there was dust everywhere. So I was figuring, I wonder how I can alleviate this problem.
What do you, what's like your favorite, I don't know, is there a favorite machine to work on? Is there a favorite machine not, or is there a machine you do not like working on? I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. You know, when we were looking to get our new house, everyone's like, do not buy LG. Do not buy LG.
Or do not buy Samsung. That is one manufacturer I would probably stay away from. I'm not saying that their products are less than most. I mean, there's one or two that I can, you know, think of. But in today's world, the biggest thing is getting service information and getting availability of parts.
Yeah.
You know, if you call around, especially here in Sussex County, I know most of the guys, none of them will work on LG.
Okay.
That's the one reason why you don't want to buy one.
Okay.
Half of them do Samsung, but I mean, you know, in reality, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, 10 years is a good lifelong, we'll just say refrigerators. And I would say probably within 5 years, you're going to have some kind of service on it.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, if you go to a Lowe's and look at some of the refrigerators they have today, you know, we got TVs and doors.
Yeah,
we
is
got,
it bad that
know,
I considered buying that?
Hot water coming out of the door, you know, cameras, you know, techie stuff.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, especially when it comes to most appliances today, I'm like, all right, so I see you got a laptop there. What's the longest you've ever owned a laptop for? And apparently if you have an Apple, they last a lot longer than, you know, anything that's running Microsoft apparently, but, there's your plug, Apple.
Well, that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, well,
we can get into that.
Right? Well, of course, you know, they're twice as much as most other laptops, but...
I have I only have Apple. This is my Apple laptop, and this thing has never been affected by some spyware or any sort of...
Right? What is it?
Thing just works awesome.
But I mean, in generally, most people laptops, I would say probably are about 5 years.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, before you drop and pour
something across it. Your main control board goes, or, you know, and then you're looking for that guy that's going to be able to save all your pictures and all your information.
Well, what would you say would be more of an appliance? Like I said, I don't want to badmouth anybody. LG don't care about me or Samsung, but it's not what we're about.
Generally,
but
I mean, here
what's
in
one that you would give a shout-out to?
GE is very popular here. It's probably what you have in your house, because yeah. I know now, you know, your builder, yeah. They primarily use GE. I mean, for me and most, and it probably comes down to where you actually live. Like here in Sussex County, almost all the builders use GE. So, I mean, most of your service techs are probably very familiar with that product and what they make. So that's probably a good one to start with.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that, you know, everybody works on them. It's probably something that most guys are going to have a lot of parts for stocked in their truck. You know, it comes down to numbers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whirlpool. I was a Whirlpool fan for, you know, a very long time.
Love Whirlpool.
Me too. They have, like most refrigerators, are going through a big refrigerant change.
What's that mean?
The refrigerant that they've used for a long time is 134A, which is what's in your cars, what's in, you know, most of your refrigeration.
Bad for the ozone?
Apparently, yes.
Apparently, here we
Better
go.
Better than Freon. Everybody likes to use that word Freon, which has been phased out since about 1992, 93, somewhere in that era. So it's always funny when you go in somebody's house and I think it just needs a little Freon.
Can you hit it with some Freon?
Can you hit it with some Freon? No, you're not allowed to do that. But basically they're going to 6600R, which is basically butane. A lot less of it. And apparently butane just dissipates in the atmosphere and doesn't cause all that damage that we've already caused in the last 50 years to the ozone layer from refrigeration.
I wonder how much butane comes out of a lighter before they ignite.
I don't know exactly how much weight of butane is in there, but most refrigerators that have the new butane, we're looking at 3 to 4 ounces of refrigerant.
Wow.
Compared to like your house where you're talking pounds and, you know, depending on what kind of, you know, R22, whatever you want to know. We're talking pounds compared to, and even the refrigerant that they've used for a while, we're still looking at only like 5 ounces of refrigerant in most refrigerators. Wow. 7 the most, which isn't a lot of refrigerant.
That's crazy. I mean, that's, you know, that's... It's out of my world, right? I have no idea how that stuff works.
Basically, the government's telling manufacturers that, yeah, I think we think this 134 stuff that you're using could... now is not good for the ozone, so we're going to mandate a total change of refrigerant. And they're doing the same thing in houses, but I'm pretty sure that they're using propane or not butane, but what's another gas? I guess it is propane. It's basically gas that, you know, very cold to touch. Like if you take a butane, anybody's used a refillable lighter and pulled it out, notice that it's really freaking cold. That's basically
now. Is it cold because it's hitting oxygen? Is it the chemical?
For the most part, like mean, I'm sure it's like, you know, if you take a refrigerant or any kind of refrigerant, when you touch it and you touch the liquid part, yeah, it's gonna freeze your fingers.
Yeah,
that's why you never want to turn one of them old refrigerant Freon cans over and open the valve up and let it touch you. It will definitely frostbite whatever it touches.
Well, it's like dry ice, right? We don't want to be touching that either.
Basically, yes, the same thing.
Well, listen, so are you on social media? As a guy in his 50s, you know, it's like I was telling somebody the other day, I think I have to hire my 10-year-old daughter to do my social media because she's so... great at it.
Facebook, but I am still very in the dark as far as a lot of things, as far as running a business. You know, QuickBooks. Oh my gosh, yep. Didn't take me long to figure out I needed to hire somebody to do that.
Mary Harris from LifeWorks. She does my QuickBooks.
She also does mine. There's our plug for Mary. Thank you.
Oh, does
God
she?
Bless you. Yes.
Oh my God. She's amazing. And she's a sponsor of one of the podcasts. So she is awesome. You know, as a my buddy Matt told me, get your best CPA, get your best accountant, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you'll either pay the tax people or you'll pay the IRS.
That's it. I didn't want to do that. So it took me about 3 days to say, yep, I'm hiring Mary to do the bookkeeping. And, you know.
How'd you find Mary?
Actually, from another friend, just started a business.
Okay.
I don't know how she came about it, but I mean, I just saw her like a day, was it yesterday or the day before?
It wasn't Allie, was it?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. It was actually a tow company, and I can't remember. Actually, she was an apprentice of mine my former company.
Well, Mary's amazing, and I use ProGar, payroll company, local company here, ProGar, and they write me one paycheck because I'm the only person that works for the company. But I tell you what, when it came to like, you know, when we went through the pandemic and the payroll protection stuff between right. ProGar and the CPA, they had all that stuff right at hand. I've been audited twice.
Really?
By labor company and the IRS. I got audited by labor department because I don't.
Yeah, I kind of know how you do it over there. So, yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know.
Well, they're like, how come you've never fired anybody? How come no one's ever filed for unemployment?
Because I don't have any employees.
Right. They're 1099s. But the point is between Mary and ProGar, I was able to have all the information. And it's a.
Yeah, I would have a complete meltdown if they did that to me and I didn't have anybody working for me or paying somebody to do all that stuff.
Well, Mary's like, you need to put some money in the bank.
Right.
You need $236 cash in your account. I'm like, honey, get some money.
I need a lot of advice on that end because, you know, Amazon will end up getting it all.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to be careful. And, you know, being from just the service endpoint, you know, you don't know what to expect. You know, taxes, you know, you hear the horror stories of people, businesses opening up and, you know, their first quarter, they're in $5,000, you know, yeah. And they're trying to figure out how to pay that because, you know, you see that gross income, you know, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of money, you know.
Do you pay yourself a paycheck?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, go.
And depending on how I work is how I do that.
Well, I do a paycheck, and, you know, like I said, ProGar does it, and it's that way, you know.
Now, technically, I don't actually take a paycheck at the present time, probably like the way you're doing mm-hmm. it. You're probably getting taxed, I don't know, however you're doing it. But, I mean, Mary basically told me that since it's already been, you're going to be paying taxes on it, you're going to pay yourself. If you ever get an employee's, it might be a different, you know. Right. Different situation. You probably have different situation because you got, you know.
Situation.
Every situation. There's always a situation has a situation to remedy the situation. But, you know, took me a long time to be able to follow the instructions and take, you know, recommendations and whatever you want to have it. But, you know. When it comes to the paper trail and, you know, and your social media and, you know, web design and blah, 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 my job's to fix appliances. Their job is to keep me to be able to fix appliances.
Keeping you working.
Yes.
Well, since you mentioned it, what is your, because we're just out of time, but what is your social media? Like, if people want to follow you, I'm sure your TikTok game is up to speed.
No.
My TikTok game. Your reels are amazing.
I think actually last night about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think I put an ad on Facebook. I don't know if it actually went through, but it's basically Lewis Appliance Repair. I have a group and a what's the other one? Group and a page.
And a page.
Yes. Well, that's big steps for me.
Listen, I suggest you get your reel game going. You know, let's get some reels, get some little videos, put some funny hashtags in, and let's go because that's
right. I'm waiting on Google. I don't know. We didn't even get to that conversation, but let's not even talk about that whole situation.
Well, you can come back.
Oh my lord!
Is your Facebook page the same thing, Lewis Appliance?
Yes.
Okay. And if people want to reach out or have some issues or. Have a conversation.
Yeah, hopefully here in the next week, Google will let me on their on the internet.
On the algorithm?
Yes, the algorithm. For some reason, they just won't let me on for some reason. I don't know why.
That's funny. Well, listen, Mike, I appreciate you coming on, man. You know, like I said, I appreciate you. You've taken care of my father. I love it that I can trust you. My dad trusts you, and I think that is of value. I don't think we should be treated different because we're trustable, because I think we should already do that. But it is nice when it is recognized, and I appreciate you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
All right, brother. Well, find him. It's Michael Harper, and it's Lewis Appliance. Talk to you later, bro.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.